This is Anderson Penn's podcast episode 42 for Tuesday, March 12th, 2013. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's Radio Network.
Hiya. That's good, nice. Right?
That's good.
What's up, y'all? We were just down south, so what's up, y'all?
I think y'all is necessary.
There you go.
Weren't we somewhere where we said you all, was a customer came to the table and we said you all, and they said you're not from around here.
That's true. That's true. And then I said I can do y'all really well because I lived in Florida for so long. So I think I redeemed us.
So, yeah, Arkansas Penn Show edition. Go.
I got to tell you, this whole March Madness thing is just wearing me down. Week two of the March Madness took us to North Little Rock, Arkansas, for the Arkansas Penn Show in Little Rock. And we learned a really interesting fact about how they named Arkansas from Sam Highsmith. So that was educational.
Can you repeat the story?
There was some duel, actually, over whether to pronounce it Arkansas or Arkansas, and so I guess they compromised and they spell it like Arkansas, but they pronounce it Arkansas. I don't know. Apparently there was like some duel at dawn, like literally.
So and both guys missed.
Well, that explains a lot. So we left Thursday like we normally do. I guess it was about 5:30, 5:45 maybe. We got to the hotel right about 8:15 or so the next morning, just in time to get stuff set up. Tim Beiler was kind of waiting for us in the lobby, I think, and he showed us kind of a little secret spot that was a really good place to park and unpack, that saved us a lot of steps. Showed us the new hospitality room, which was really nice, super comfy couches. And then we unloaded and started to set up. I guess it took about 2 hours to set up and be close to where we needed to be.
Yeah, I guess it only seemed like Tim was waiting for us only because he knew the twist that I sent. He knew we were pulling into the parking lot, and he said he had already bought all the pens.
You know, I'm going to go with he was waiting for us.
Okay. There were a number of dealers getting set up in the room quite early on, and with a little more relaxed pace of this particular show, we were able to chat with a lot of them while we set up. The members of the Arkansas Pen Club, they're friendly and helpful, and stopping by and checking in to see if there's anything we need, and including
coffee.
Yes, coffee.
Coffee. We needed coffee. So we got some. let's see. And then about halfway through the setup, Mike Beiler arrived.
Yay.
Yeah, it was good to see him. And stopped for a while, got caught up, see how he was doing. I don't remember who brought us coffee. Was it Mike?
I thought we had it before then.
Did we? Yeah. Somebody brought us donuts, or was that Saturday?
That was Sunday. Yeah.
Sunday.
Saturday.
Sorry,
Sunday.
Eric. We're on the food already. Once we were fully set up, and that took a while, people kept teasing us about it. It was good to relax a little bit and get caught up on all the news.
Yeah. Friday was your typical Friday at a show. Not a lot of traffic, but enough to make some money to also get around and chat with our friends. Of course, Joel Hamilton and Cheryl Tyree were seated right across from us.
That's always fun.
It is, yeah. Those two, if you don't know them, man, they're awesome. Awesome people. And it was nice to talk with them, hear the latest. I got some real good repair tips from Cheryl, and we had some good conversations about Cheryl Schaefer vac fillers. That was fun. They had some tempting pelicans on their table.
Yes, they did.
Including a 400 double N in brown tortoise, since the tortoise pelican is all the news these days. And they also had some nice vacuumatics, including a Christian Olsen Danish Maxima vacuumatic that caught my eye. amongst other pens, but the stuff they have is amazing, really amazing. Mike came back to our table and pulled out a pen I knew he was going to have because it was on my wish list. I had to have this once I heard about it.
So does that count as a score if you knew he was going to bring it? That's not really a find. That's just a receipt.
I've kind of been trying to get this one for a while, so I think it does count as a score. I have a fondness for 1990s era Schaefer Legacies. These are particularly the Legacy 1, and these the Legacies have the touchdown filling mechanism, just like on the the regular touchdowns from the 50s and 60s. I happen to own. The first one is a blue Legacy that I've owned for years and years. And then last Valentine's Day, Lisa gave me this one here, which is actually a Legacy 2. It's kind of shiny. But Mike had this pen that I had to have, and it's a green Legacy with a two-tone chrome and gold cap, and it has a big, big stub nib on it, factory stub nib. And especially since it was a Legacy 1, the Legacy 2 has the more rounded, more tapered ends. I say absolutely put it on the table. It's mine. Super glad to have it. Nice, nice writing pen. Inked it up today and took it to work.
I still don't think that counts.
I don't care what you think.
Wow, I'm just going to leave now.
I love you anyway.
Our good friend Rob Bader showed up on Friday only to look around, and we didn't really get to talk to him much, and we didn't realize until later that Friday was the only day he was going to be at the show.
I don't think we saw him on Saturday. I think he was just there and poof, gone.
Yeah, and he's only a couple hours from there.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll see him soon, maybe Atlanta.
Hopefully, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Rob Bader, Sam Alardo was there, showing off some of his overlays. And he has this fabulous Aiken Lambert that he keeps showing me, and he's killing me with it. It's this and actually I saw it in Dallas last year. That's September for you, some of you folk. And it's this at the time we thought maybe it was a carry. It's a sterling overlay, and it has the overlay at the top. It is actually like crisscrossed at the top. Normally there's they're essentially made like a sleeve, and they fit over the top. But this one has got the filigree extending all the way over the top. Absolutely fabulous. I think at this point we've determined it is an Aiken Lambert. Either that or he's just trying to sell it to me. I don't know what the case is, but...
Super. I pay him to not sell it to you.
He showed me that, and then he showed me another Aiken Lambert that was just killer. And then he disappeared. I don't know where he went.
Yeah, I don't think I saw him either.
Yeah.
What is it about the Little Rock show? Like, our friends are just disappearing.
Yeah. Friday also saw the opening of the Penn Museum, which was a display of pens in a tall... I think it was a Parker display case.
Yep. Right at the end of our tables.
Right at the end of our table, which is really cool. And there was an example, and you don't see this very often, if at all, but an example of every single color of Snorkel. And that includes fern and sage green, and I can never remember which one is the really, 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 really rare one. I think it's sage. But it looks like... it's like olive drab. It's as Cheryl Tyree will say, it's the ugliest color you've ever seen.
I love Cheryl.
Yeah, she's awesome. But everyone was there. It had all the different nibs. There was also a Black Giant, a Waterman 20. There was a whole tray of really, really very clean early Schaefer flat tops, some in hard rubber with gold, beautiful gold bands, some very clean jade. Oversized, full-size models. Tim Beiler had a nice selection of his English Swan pens, including some in full overlays. very beautiful. And perhaps, and we're gonna probably agree to disagree here. The most astounding desk set I think anyone has or ever will see.
It's up there in the top 10.
It was this, if I can use the word, ginormous. And it was about, I don't know.
It was bigger than 8 inches.
It was bigger than 8 inches. I mean, it's this huge, huge, ridiculously large thing. And it had these jade elephants on it.
Several of them.
There was like, what, 10 or 12?
There were 6 or 7. Mommy and a daddy elephant and little baby elephants kind of trailing along behind.
All over the place. And then two, I think they were Waterman gold fill, all gold fill overlay desk pens.
It was awesome.
And it was huge. By
awesome, I mean it was full of awe.
What?
It's just like, really?
What I can't wrap my head around.
Where would you put this?
On my desk, right here, right there. If that thing had been
your
for sale.
Your desk isn't big enough.
I would make room because that thing was some ridiculous. It was just crazy.
But not crazy pretty. It's, yeah, like Tim says, it's gaudy. It's, who did that belong to? Is that Arnie's?
Well,
God love him.
I don't remember, but what I was trying to think all the time was how did Waterman package this? How did they ship this thing in the first place? I mean, it would have had to have been a box that was, you know, it was
and
huge.
That was pre-bubble wrap.
Yeah, pre-bubble wrap. Yeah, it was Arnie's.
Yeah. It was something.
It was something, man.
We have pictures, right?
I do have pictures. They're not great. I wish I had taken a picture of it outside of the case, but I have some pictures. You get a good enough idea. I brought along some pens for the museum as well. A tray of overlays, mostly Aiken Lambert. I have a diamond point that I had in there and a wort. So it was really cool. A nice display, had nice lighting, some really nice pens, and I'm probably missing a few pens. There was some other boxed pens and a couple of other desk pens in there too. Really, really kind of a neat addition to the show. And yeah. I know at several times I'd be sitting there and I'd watch Fern Padilla. He would be over there, and there may be some people that were new to pens, and he would be giving them the whole rundown. And it was kind of cool, and I think people really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think next year maybe they should put it someplace a little more, either closer to the door or more in the center. I think it maybe got hidden kind of between us and Jimmy.
Yeah, maybe.
But you've also got the logistics of the electric. But it was cool.
Yeah.
It was very cool. The show closed on Friday about 7. And right after that, we ran back to the room, cleaned up a little bit, and we were sponsoring a pizza party with pizza from one of the local venues. So here's the food network part of it. We ordered 20 pizzas, well, Fern did, and had a good selection, cheese, veggie, sausage, supreme, and pepperoni, I think. thanks, Eric. The sausage was awesome.
It was particularly noteworthy, yeah. Was it? Was it not?
It wasn't just the little round blobs of sausage. This was cut from, these were actually like slices, almost like you'd have slices of pepperoni. And I don't know how they cooked them, but it was phenomenal.
Well, we're totally doing that the next time we get pizza. We're going to slice it up and put it on that way.
Make our own. They did order too many, or maybe not enough people showed up. We ended up with about 10 extra pizzas, which we kept for lunch the next day. And that was awesome.
Yeah, so it worked out.
Yeah. And the club provided soda and some really yummy beer. And everybody had a good time. There were, 10 or 12 people seated around a big, long table. And there were a couple comfy, comfy couches in there. And it was a good time.
Yeah, you know, and actually, as it worked out, there was, I think, too many more people in that room would have been a little bit crowded. I mean, it was pretty, it was pretty well packed, but it was a good time.
Yeah.
Be happy to do it again. Mm-hmm. Saturday morning comes early, so it was nice to get a few hours sleep. First time in quite a long time, and we had a breakfast buffet. We're continuing the food thing here, was included with the room charge. So we had eggs, hash browns, sausage, coffee, orange juice, you know, the whole thing. I didn't think it was as good a breakfast as it was in Baltimore, but you know what? It doesn't matter. It's nice to have something to wake up to. After breakfast, we got into the trading room. We rearranged a few items on the table, and I think we were ready to go. So it's always nice to have security. You don't have to do much. Some additional pens could be found on some of the tables. So Saturday, there were some latecomers on Friday evening, Friday afternoon, who didn't get quite fully set up, including a table right next to Joel and Cheryl's that had some interesting pieces. But for the most part, we were operational and running right away. And here's one for the lessons learned department.
Oh, no. The one that got away.
This is the one that got away. So this table right next to Joel and Cheryl's, which is pretty much kitty corner from ours. I could see them. I couldn't commit to this pen. I don't know why.
Because it didn't have a nib.
It had a nib.
Did it? Oh, well, that's a surprise.
Yeah. it was an Edward Todd eyedropper. And it had two gold-filled bands, beautiful imprint, no cracks, no problems, except for that the nib was wrong.
So I was close.
Yeah, it was a warranted nib. And the nib itself was all kind of crinkled. It was not good. But the price was ridiculously right, and I just couldn't pull the trigger. I don't know why. So at some moment in the afternoon, it occurred to me, I could use the nib for some more straightening practice because you can always use more practice. And so I grab some money. I go over to the table. There's this big gaping hole right where the pen used to be. Oops. Well, you know, lesson learned. If you want it, buy it when you see it or it's going to be gone later.
Yep.
At some point late on the previous day, Friday, I realized that Joel Hamilton actually owed us some money.
So wait, he owes us money and you got a pen?
Well, I didn't have to spend any money then.
At
the show.
I got to figure that math out.
It coincidentally happened to be about the same price as a pen on his table.
Uh-huh, we know where this is going.
Which he had been tempting me with for like the past four or five shows. So
and Sam Alardo are both in trouble.
They're terrible. Well, Joel would do this to me. I'd walk past and go, here, just take this. Take the pen. Like, no, Joel, I can't do it. You know, I mean, it's a great pen, but I wasn't going to pay the price. And so finally I decided, well, you know what? I might as well just do it. It's a win-win for everybody.
What?
It was a win-win for everyone. So I get to take this. It's a John Holland taper cap eyedropper with an overfeed.
I still don't get the whole overfeed.
It's stunning. And actually,
on top of the nib?
Feeds on top. And this is an over, not an over-under on this one.
So an over-under has two feeds?
It does. An over-under has...
like a nib sandwich?
Yeah, I guess so.
There's more food there.
It's just an overfeed, not an over-under. So that was cool. I was very happy to get it. It's got the coolest chasing pattern you ever want to see. It's kind of like a really cool diamond pattern on it. Very, very clean pen. Very happy to finally score that. So... That was the major purchase for the show weekend.
So you got a pen that you knew was coming, and you count that as a score. Mm-hmm. And you took a pen instead of cash. So you're up to two.
Two.
Okay. All right. Saturday we had leftover pizza for lunch, and lots of dealers were kind of wandering in and out of the hospitality room, having some leftover pizza. And there was a lengthy discussion on hot versus cold pizza.
Always.
Yep. I go with cold.
Hot.
It's easier. showing off recent finds, all that good stuff. I'm not sure how many pizzas were left at the end of the day. But yeah, if we had lived closer, we totally would have taken those home that night.
Yeah, that was some pretty amazing pizza.
I think that there were still some left over at the end of the weekend, and we opted not to take
them. I bet there was, yeah. I don't think that would be a wise choice. Yep. Several members of the Dallas Pen Club made their way in the afternoon on Saturday, and there were some really great stories to be heard, and you wouldn't believe it. But you know, and it wasn't a case of one-upmanship, as can sometimes happen. But this whole thing started out with a simple question. I had a pen on my table. It was a Parker pencil, a Vacumatic Imperial pencil, and I was asked, you know, how did you get this? Where did you get this? And so it starts with the story of this wacky auction that I went to where there's a Parker 51 red band demonstrator. And the price, of course, goes through the roof. It ends up about $1,900, $2,000 on this pen. And so...
That was on Valentine's Day.
It was on Valentine's Day. And 2 years ago, I think it was. Or was it last year?
I don't know.
2 years ago, I think.
I think so.
Anyway, so that story got one-upped by an even wackier story about this auction with, and I couldn't believe it, 15 Parker Black Giants and 18 Waterman 20s. And they were all part of this one guy's collection.
Yep.
It was being auctioned off, and he had all sorts of he liked big pens. He had, I don't know, a dozen Mandarin Senior Dual Folds and all this crazy stuff. And it had we not known this gentleman for quite a long time,
oh yeah,
I'd have said this is a complete wives' tale. I mean, there's just no way. But he actually
gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, he actually went there and inspected 15 Black Giants. In fact, he said at one point in the auction, these auctioneers, they had no idea what the heck was going on. They auctioned off 5 Black Giants in a lot.
For like what, $100 each? I mean, how do you do that?
I don't know. I have no idea. So it was crazy. Just crazy stuff you hear at a pen show.
Yeah. And the guy who was telling us the story is not at all prone to exaggeration. In fact, he's what, an accountant or a CPA?
Yeah.
John's like, serious.
Yeah.
So Saturday night, here's the food show again. We ate at the restaurant. And last year we had phenomenal steak and this baked potato that was about the size of a football that 3 of us split and we couldn't finish. So this time we were kind of disappointed, I have to say. There was a woman who was bartending, and she recognized us because earlier in the day she had, chastised us for, taping our banner onto the wall. And so she was working, I don't know what you call it, but she was taking care of the banquet or the ballroom during the day. And then she was doing, I guess, a double, and she was bartending, and she walked by, and I teased her. I'm like, don't you go home? Next thing I know, the waiter comes out and says that Tammy has bought us a drink. So I like free drinks.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was pretty cool. The salad bar is supposed to be like one of the largest in the city, so I had that, and that was okay. And Brian decided to try the carbonara, which looked more like soup.
Yeah, it was. I have a weakness for carbonara, and this was like a little bit of bacon in white soup.
Yeah,
like mostaccioli. It was just not.
It wasn't great, yeah.
No.
The French onion soup looked good.
It was okay. I've definitely had better, but...
Mm-hmm. The rolls were good.
Yes. 10 points right
10
there.
Points for the rolls. my salad was fine. I mean, it's just a big salad bar. The drink was good. Yeah. So that was, what, Saturday night?
Saturday, yeah. Let's see. After that, we grabbed a couple of beverages.
Oh, that's right. We snuck back into the hospitality suite and grabbed a beer.
Yeah. Somehow we happened to have a key to that room.
We did.
Grabbed a couple beverages, took them back to the room, sat down, relaxed a little bit before I went to sleep. We had one more day. Sunday saw the departure of several of the dealers. So tables were jostled around a little bit.
A bunch of them.
I moved around. Yeah. Moved around in an effort to keep the room full. We expanded some paper onto another table. And of course, all of this is after breakfast.
Which was the same...
The same thing,
the same buffet. Actually, the potatoes were kind of cold. I didn't have those. What did I? I just had eggs. And the biscuit. The biscuits were nice and fluffy. Juice was good. It was nice to have coffee. But
anyway, we expanded some paper onto another table, which was pretty good. Experimented with a little different setup there. And Susan Worth had her little Susie's Amex that she puts out every once in a while.
Yep. She expands, and she was like directing all of the club members to. Suddenly, we had a round table in the middle of the room with like six chairs, and there was this other banquet table, and so the banquet table was Susie's Annex, and people could sit. And she had each table had a specific use, and
you know, my favorite part was when. She was at that round table, and she was talking with Mike about something about the show, and Tim got up and left, and Tim's walking around the table, he's waving at Mike, and Susan is just keeps going, and you could tell Mike's like trying to like, I don't, it's just really funny.
He looked very patient. He was trying to learn, and you know, Susan has been to a lot of shows. And she has some valid points
about
a number of things. But it was just entertaining because Tim was totally torturing Mike.
Yeah.
So.
Those two are really fun to watch. They're hilarious. As with most shows, Sunday was a little slower. But you just never know what's going to happen, what may or may not sell. Sometimes stuff you've had for a year moves on Sunday. As was the case this time. I think we had a couple of pens and pencils that went that we've had for a while, so that was cool. I did manage to find in a pencil box on somebody's table two black Estabrook pencils, and for the price of essentially parts, these are working pencils, and they both say on them... Tennessee Coal and Iron Division, United States Steel, and then one of them says Tennessee Coal, Iron, and Railroad Company with the U.S. Steel logo on. So I thought it was kind of cool, two different Estabrook pencils. I like some of these imprints on the pencils. I think they're kind of cool. And it was apparent that some of the railroads, for whatever reason, used Estabrook pencils a lot because you see them show up quite often. Different railroad companies, but that was cool. And then at one point on Sunday, someone came up to the table, and I have to admit, I can't remember who it was, but he was talking to me about some of Henry Simple's designs. And Henry has this catalog that shows off the patterns that he has. And we were looking through there, and sure enough, in it, is one of the pens that I had brought for the museum was basically a model for one of Henry's overlays. And it's this guy right here. And,
this is funny.
And so I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And this guy says, well, yeah, he's got one over at his table. And I looked and I'm like, you know, this is the pen right here. And so I go over to the table and sure enough, sitting there on the table is exactly the same overlay, but it's on a bigger pen. It's Sterling and it's got a clip. And so I get Henry's attention. Now this is the only U.S. show he's doing this year, so this is my only chance to see this pen. And I showed him the Aiken Lambert, and he says, "Oh yeah, was this in the museum?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, I saw that. That's cool." And we started comparing them. And then Wendy Gregory, who was at his table all weekend helping him out, she looks at it and she says, she's awesome. She looks at it and she goes, oh, well, like on this part right up here, it's like really delicate. And she's making all these comments about it.
About the Aiken,
yeah. And he says, well, you know, the gold fill is, you know, it's the gold metal. It's thinner and you have to be more delicate and the stainless is a little thicker. And then he looks at her without missing a beat. He goes, well, I did the best I could.
And in that accent, he's got a British accent.
The British accent.
So funny.
Yeah. It was hysterical. I mean, because, you know, if you know, obviously, you know who Henry is. I mean, he makes the finest overlays anywhere since any, you know, even the New York jewelers at the turn of last century. I mean, his stuff is amazing.
Yeah.
I did the best I could. So that's kind of funny.
It was pretty funny. Let's see. Sunday was actually a short day. The show closed at 3, and we managed to get everything packed up and in the car by about 4:45, pushing 5 o'clock. Some of the leftover beer was brought out and ended up in our car. So there's always room in the car for beer, which I think we're going to enjoy maybe tonight.
I'm having one right now.
Oh, so unfair. I should have thought of that.
I left you the presidential IPAs.
Okay, well, that's fire. That's good. All in all, it was a good show. Lots of friendly people, some funny raffles and drawings every day, seminars. Deb Basil did a calligraphy seminar that I think had 14 people. So
yeah,
that was
hours.
Phenomenal. Yep, it was great. I wish we could have gone. A little more traffic, and it would have been really a fantastic show. But the Arkansas Pen Club is just so warm and friendly, and everybody's just so sweet and so nice.
You should mention the giveaway or the raffle, not the raffle, but the door prize.
Which door prize?
Not the door prize. The Sam Highsmith auction.
Usually Sam auctions off like ketchup and mustard jars. You remember that from last year?
Every once in a while, though, last year was ketchup and mustard, but he has been known to like, he has like a deal of the week. And he, like one year, I remember in Columbus, he was across from us and he came up to me and he hands me like two or three pens. He says, every year I do this, you know, last minute deal, these three pens for $20. So.
He had several things that had been on his table all weekend, and he was getting ready to leave. He wasn't going to come back on Sunday, so this was Saturday, right? Yeah, this was Saturday.
Yeah, I guess it was Saturday.
And so he picks up a backpack. It was a backpack-style camera bag, and he's trying to auction it off. Nobody wants it. There were two Coach... they're like briefcases without a handle. You'd put documents and such in there. One was tan, one was black. I'd looked at both of them and just wasn't quite ready to pull the trigger, but they were beautiful. A couple other things that he had that he was auctioning off, and it was entertaining until I got outbid on one of the Coach pieces. On the tan one, it was... He said the first $40 takes it. So we, you know, 5, 10, 15.
It was black.
The tan one went first.
Oh, okay.
And so the tan one went, and somebody got up to 40. I think we bid once or twice, maybe. Didn't go too high. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember who won it. Somebody won it. And then the black one, I thought, okay, maybe I want that one. So... Sam's asking for a $5 bid, and I yell $35, and I figure that would discourage everybody else. And immediately, somebody outbids me, and it's gone to the other guy.
With the initials MB. Who might be in the chat.
So I got outbid, and I just looked. I mean, our good friend Mike, and he just, without missing a beat, just... boom, outbids me.
Well, and Sam didn't even further the bidding. It was $40 done.
Yeah. I would have gone 45 just to outbid Mike. So I was, and I just like gave him that, Ira, I gave him the cartoon caption look like, seriously?
Yeah. If looks could have killed, he was done.
Yeah, he'd be in big trouble. That was funny. And then Sunday, it managed to make its way over to our table and just stayed there. So Mike has redeemed himself.
The gentleman that he is gifted the coach back. So
I heard Tim told him to do it. I thought Mike said that Timmy told me to do it.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, I could have sworn that's what he said. But Mike said it was worth the money just to see the look on my face. So apparently I did another. So, I don't know. It was pretty funny. I don't think we're going to have that much fun this weekend.
Probably not. We're probably just going to sell pens.
And ink. And paper.
And ink. A lot of ink. Yep. Okay.
And for those of you who don't know, coming up this weekend is the Long Island Pen Show on Saturday and Sunday, March 16th and 17th. And it is also the third and last of the pen shows in March. Thank God.
Yeah, looking forward to next weekend.
After Long Island. Sleeping in our own bed. I think the kids are on spring break that week. So I just want to sleep. Yeah. But anyway, Long Island Pen Show, March 16th and 17th, Saturday. Weekend traders are able to come in from 8 in the morning to 10, and then the public is from 10 to 6 on Saturday. And the public is shows open to the public on Sunday from 10 to 4. Looks like vendors and weekend traders can get in at 8. And there is some kind of a calligraphy or lettering workshop. Admission's $10 at the door, and you can get more information at lipenshow.com.
Cool. Very cool. So this time next week, we'll be talking about that. So that'll be fun.
Yep.
We've got a couple new things up on the website we should mention.
We do. I'm not sure what's up and what's going to be up, but we'll just rattle through it real quick.
Maybe we should just say we have a couple new things.
we got 65 pounds of ink. Yeah, we don't weigh things by number anymore. We just weigh it by pounds. 65 pounds of noodlers.
And what was the label on the top? Do you remember what that said? I'm going to take a picture of it.
Oh, it was great. It said, this side up. This box contains ink and glass bottles or something like that.
Do not freeze.
Do not freeze. This box is fragile as hell. That's what it said. I kid you not. Fragile as hell. And ink and glass and fragile as hell, I believe, are bright pink. With exclamation points and, oh, yeah, he wanted to make sure that nothing happened to this. It said, don't drop, and, yeah, we need to take a picture of it because it's pretty funny. And it arrived fine. I haven't finished unpacking because 65 pounds of ink is a lot of ink. We also got in, was it 30 pounds of leather?
Yeah, it was a lot. Big box.
Big box. So the leather has been restocked, and we have some new pen cases. And a couple new colors. One new color? Two new colors.
Yeah, we have red yep. in a couple of the three pen cases. We were supposed to get tan, but I did not see tan. There are a couple of... We now have some doubles and a few singles as well. And I think we were able to get... Was it doubles in blue?
Doubles or triples? I think doubles. We only have a little bit.
I think there are doubles because we hadn't had them before, and we got all the supposedly got all the blue doubles they had. So
yep. So the leather has been restocked.
Yeah, we'll have them in Long Island. Probably won't be up on the website until after we get back. Probably next week this time, sometime. So
Yep. And the big news that everyone has been waiting for, the Twisby 580 piston fillers have shipped from Twisby to us. Well, that's good.
That was good,
that's,
right?
That's good. It was like being on the Geeks. Now we just need that. It was, yeah. So make sure to go on the website and click on the notify back in stock button, and you'll get an email notice immediately when we receive them. It should be Friday or Saturday, except we won't be here. We've started to get some of the back in stock notices already, so make sure to pick your nib preference and click on the link. They are coming in clear only at first in nib sizes fine, medium, broad, 1.1, and 1.5. Extra fine will be coming in about 2 weeks or so.
Okay. Awesome. And we're also getting something else.
Yes. Score.
In addition to restocking all those back bottles that just, they just
blow,
they fly out. Yeah, they're just crazy. We're getting the new glass bottles with the plastic tops.
Those are going to be cool.
The Diamond 50 with the plastic instead of the anodized ring. Yep. They're going to be plastic here, and I think the cap is plastic too. I don't know for
so.
Sure. But,
I think so.
But it's the same glass, but just a little bit lesser expensive top part to it.
Yep.
Those are coming in what, five colors, six
the
colors?
The same five like colors as the VAC 20 bottles. So those will be cool.
So those are coming in, and there'll be a little bit, lower price point, I think, on that.
Yep, so those are going to be $18.99 instead of $25. So if you're thinking about getting one, that may be about an option for you.
Yeah, get one with your piston filler.
Yep, we also got this huge box from Delta.
Oh, more of the vintage and more fusions are coming in.
And more ink, and yeah, we just got heavy big boxes.
Tons of stuff. So
yep, it's awesome.
Cool. You've got a couple shout outs, I suppose.
Just a couple. Tim and Mike Beiler, always.
Who are they?
It's these guys. They gave us beer. We got to mention them. Jake and his mom. Jake came to see us in Little Rock, I guess, 2 years ago, our very first show there. This little boy, probably 10 or 12. And he bought a bunch of stuff from our junk box, our $2 pen box. And he took them home and restored them. And he got some on, I think, Friday or maybe Saturday. Went home, restored them, came back the next day and bought some more. And nice kid, very polite. Very polite.
Super, super polite
nice kid. Nice manners. And then he came and saw us last year, and he'd gotten taller. And we saw him in Dallas last year, and he was getting taller. I mean, I know that kids do that. We have kids, but it's kind of fun to see him grow. And then this year he came to see us, and the dude's huge. He was on crutches.
Yeah.
He's huge. And he wasn't even in there, I don't know, 10 minutes, and he won a door prize.
Yeah, he won a bottle of Waterman's Ink.
Yep. So that was kind of funny. Let's see. We got some cute notes in the mail from our good friend Ed C. We hung out and spoke with him for a long time in Columbus. He and Brian had some lengthy, lengthy Greek-sounding IT chat. And as always, my girl crush, Shannon. It was good to see Shannon. So. Yep, that was that.
Anybody else miss him?
We got to meet Jimmy Dolev's daughter, who is so adorable. She's what, 27?
She was 24.
23? I don't know. She's young and she's tiny and she's just so sweet. And it was through Suzanne that I found out that Wendy Gregory is a dentist. And what else did I learn? I don't know. So I think that's it for shout outs. Everybody in the club and everybody down south, y'all.
Okay. Anything else you want to talk about?
I think that's enough. I got to go pack.
Okay. Comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
Or catch us online.
Email is brian@andersonpens.net.
Or lisa@andersonpens.net.
You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/AndersonPens.
And we, of course, have a Facebook page, facebook.com/AndersonPens.
Our blog is andersonpens.net/blog.
And the website, andersonpens.net.
Join our mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events or pre-orders. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We'll see you next week, probably about the same time, Tuesday.
Same time, same place.
Same time, same station.
Just tired. But home for a couple weeks. Woo!
There you go.
Awesome.
Good night.
Bye.